You know, I want to go right to our series text this morning in Matthew 7. But first, let's dive in to our weekly confession. That weekly confession is what prefaces what we're about to hear. And because the Word of God is a living thing. It is alive, the Bible says. Excuse me. Ready? Read. This Word is God speaking to me. This Word is God's life being imparted to me. This Word is God's incorruptible seed being planted in me. This Word is God's authority being delegated to me. This Word is God's blessing overtaking me. This Word is God's ability empowering me. This Word is God's counsel guiding me. This Word is God's power of salvation to me. This Word is God accomplishing in me that which pleases Him. This Word is God speaking to me. So in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, we're going to start there. Jesus is speaking. He says, Therefore, is that what it says? Now, this has been biting me in the back of my brain for the last 2 weeks when I've been going over this scripture. Therefore, you know, it's the old saying, when you come to a therefore, you got to back up and see what it's there for. Because it's connecting a thought here and we can't miss that. So let's go back to verse 20. Therefore, by their, well, that's another therefore. Let's back up. No, we're not going to do that. Once we're in this thing, we got to get out, you know. Therefore, by their fruits, you will know them. What's Jesus looking for? Fruit. When he went to that fig tree, he wasn't too happy. There was no figs, right? He's looking for fruit. And what kind of fruit? Good fruit. What else? Ha! Who said that? Dave. Who said it? Dave. Fruit that remains, that's hooked in with that vine, who's drawing from the vine and the vine only, who's hooked in there for eternity. It's all settled. It's settled. I'm going with God. By their fruits, you'll know. The fruit tells what kind of root it is. Tells the very nature of a thing is the fruit of a thing. And he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. That's the word iniquity in the King James. I don't know about you, that kind of jerks the slack out of me. Does that sober you up a little bit? It really does, and it's not a condemnation thing here. You know, this scripture is here for a reason, to keep us on the straight and narrow, to keep us in the center lane so we don't go over in a ditch here or a gully over there, and keeps us on track and keeps us safe. It's like a guardrail, this. We need to be doing the will of God. Those who do his will. It's back, let's see. But many shall say, Lord, 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 Lord. Where does it say that? Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter, but those who do, but he who does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. You know, in 1 John 2:16, I think it is, it says, those who do the will of God will abide forever. What you're doing, what you do tells everybody, including the devil, what you believe. Because if you don't believe it, you're not going to do it. You say, oh, that's cool. Goodbye. Who hasn't done that here? We've all done it. Plead the blood over that and get back in the Word. And let the Word do its work. Plant its seed in you. It is incorruptible seed being planted. It's his life being planted in you. It's his benefits. It's his love that's being planted in you. The fruit of the Spirit, everything. Comes from the Word of God. Can I have an amen there?
Amen.
Amen. So, verse 24, therefore, there we got that out of the way. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, this is what he's talking about. If you hear the word and do it, I will liken him unto a wise man who built his house on a rock. And the rains descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house. And it did not fall, for it was founded upon the rock. Verse 26. But. You know what goats do? They butt. But we're sheep and we follow. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the winds and the rains came and the floods came and the wind blew and beat on that house and it fell, and great was its fall. And it was totally unnecessary if they just dug down deep to the rock. If they got in there and made sure, I'm in this thing. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm in this thing. Turn to your other neighbor and say, I'm in this thing. Now turn to the other one and say, we are in this thing. Turn to the other neighbor. We are in this thing. Are you in this thing? You in this thing? Come on, you're standing on the rock. You're in this thing. You won't be moved. You know, you have a house. House has a roof. You won't even get wet in the rain. The winds of narratives, the winds of everything else won't move you, because you're planted in the truth. And he said, I am the truth. Amen. You're standing in the truth. Amen. So the winds of this world won't bother you. The forces of nature won't bother you. Amen. The winds of doctrines of demons won't bother you, because you know the truth. Amen. And what did the truth do for you? It'll make you free. Amen. I said, it'll make you something. What it'll make you? Free! Oh, Dwight was talking about the source of bondage this morning is fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Thank you for that word, Dwight. Praise God. So here's what we're saying here. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, we have prophesied in your name. Haven't we done that? Haven't we, in your name, cast out devils? Anybody can cast out a devil. You don't even have to be saved to be a devil caster outer. You know, the sons of Sceva. Sceva. It's where we get the word skeeve. The sons of Sceva, I mean, we're casting out devils. So if you have a physical body and you are here on the earth, you have dominion in the earth. You have more dominion in the earth than the devil does. You don't even have to be born again to cast out a devil. You see, one thing that these people don't realize, this separates the goats from the sheep, this scripture. Because you can go out and you can do your own thing. God is talking to you, I want you to do this. And you say, well, maybe later, you know. I mean, if it's God today, it'll be God tomorrow. And so no pressure. I'll do it when I get around to it. You don't approach the Lord like that. Yeah, if it's God tomorrow, it'll be God, because he doesn't change. But times do, and timing changes, and opportunities come and go. But here's the thing. You do that long enough and turn a deaf ear towards God, and what did we show you in Proverbs 28 last time? He who does not listen to the Lord, even his prayers will be an abomination. Do you remember? You remember that scripture? We saw that. It said, "Read it and weep." But look, we have opportunity. You can't look at this as this hammer coming down on you. No, this is an opportunity for you to excel in God and the things of God. Amen. Now, where was I before I got excited with all that? Okay. So God calls you to do something, and in fact, when God asks you to do something, here's the thing. The words shouldn't even finish the question before you say, yes, Lord, that's the short answer. Now, what can I do for you? I'll do it gladly. He responds to that. He says, well, what do you want me to do? Well, I want you to do something for me. Will you do it? Well, what is it? And then he said, well, I just want to know if you're going to do it. Well, tell me and then I'll decide. Sorry, unacceptable. He is your master, your Lord. Amen. He is your Savior. He gave everything for you. Amen. I don't have a son, but if I did, I don't know if I'd be willing to give him up for somebody who likes me. He did that for you. He managed you up into an eternity that nothing else could do. And if he asks you to do something, you ought to be right and ready. Say, yes! What is it? What can I do for you, Lord? Whatever you say, I'll do. And I'll do it the way you want me to do it. And you know what he does? That's my boy. That's my girl. That's who he created you to be. But you see, if you do your own thing and build your own little empire and do this, when the winds come, Lichka said it, you'll get blown away. And there are a lot of people, we talked about the men's fellowship yesterday, is that everywhere Abraham went, he's the father of our faith, right? It says that in Romans 4. Everywhere he went, he built an altar, then he pitched his tent. There are too many people doing their own things, and they are building their tent and pitching their altar. The world loves that. They'll flock to that. But it's the little flock. It's the narrow gate that leads to life. And few there be that find it. You know something? Give me you guys anytime. Because you're hungry for the word and you want to do it. Praise God. But we do need reminding from time to time, right? Because I do. So Peter said, I'm going to stir you up by way of reminding you who you are. Praise God. Amen. You shall know them by their fruits. Okay. So the thing is, what these people that says, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we cast out demons? Didn't we do wonders and everything? If you're a human being in this earth and you catch wind of this, you can do it too. But are you doing it for his glory, his name, or doing it to increase your own name, your own fame, your own fortune? I'll tell you what, give me the name of Jesus. And I would rather have that anointing that is on that name and be connected with him who has my eternity sealed. I know my debts are paid. I know my Father. My name is clear before my Father. If you put a fence around this building, 50 feet high, and every brick was a gold brick, you can have it. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Because that, when the fire hits it, that gold's going to melt with fervent heat. Amen. But I'll still be standing. Give me Jesus. Oh, give me Jesus. In the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, give me Jesus. These are weighty issues, you know, I know, but look, these are our guardrails. This is what keeps us safe. This is what keeps us going in the right direction. Amen. Hearing and doing. Remember the gap, that the greatest gaps in this life are hearing and doing. Say it again. Hearing and doing. And then the other great gap is wanting and having. You want something, but you don't necessarily have it. That's a huge gap. That's where the devil has a lot of people. And they start with covetousness and lusting and after thing, whatever. But if you close the first gap of hearing and doing, guess what? Wanting and having will close too. I like to have that gap closed. Yeah. Because he said, I am Jehovah Jireh, your provider. And he will pour out a blessing on you that you can't even handle if you do what he says to do. You know, and this, you know, then you hear God say something, you say, I'm going to do that. Let me get some counsel on this. So you go to somebody who you think they could give me godly counsel. I mean, so, and then he says, well, you know, we need some wisdom here. I mean, you don't want to get yourself out on a limb. You got to count the cost. You know, use wisdom so you won't be sorry. Are you kidding me? What did Jesus call wisdom? We just read it. Whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him. I will identify him. I will be with him. I will call him. What he calls is, I will call him a wise man who built his house on the rock. You hear something from God, just do it. Don't, Oral Roberts said this to Kenneth Copeland. He said, Kenneth, do these three things and you will not fail. First of all, find out the will of God. Find out the will of God. Find out what he is saying, because his words and his will are the same thing. Find out what he's saying. Then confer no longer with flesh and blood. Why? Because if God tells you something, faith comes by hearing the word, right? So if you hear God say something, you have faith to do it. But you go counsel with somebody and they say, well, you know, I don't know about that. They didn't hear from God. They don't have the faith that you have to do that thing. God called you to do it, so do it. You don't need their counsel. Just go ahead and do it. And you know what? The wisdom will come. Confer no longer with flesh and blood and get the job done at all costs. You know, when we started the school, we started out with nothing. We didn't have the money to pay for that or anything. But God said, I had a piece. And yes. How could you not say? He was telling us to do something. And it's like, yes, of course we will. Amen. When he told me to start this church, yes, of course I will. How? I mean, we didn't know what we were doing. But he surrounded us with counsel. Once you start doing something, God's not going to give you the gift of healing if you're not going to lay hands on somebody. You'll never see it. But as you do it, then the gift is transmitted to them. It manifested. So when you ask God for wisdom, and he says, do what I told you to do, and as you do it, guess what? The wisdom comes to do it, and you can do this, that, and the other thing. This is what we found out. Doing this church, starting this church, starting that school. Have we made mistakes? Yeah, but God works with you. Yeah. I mean, we've made a big mistake, but God will work with you. And he'll get you where you need to be if you do what he says to do. That's wisdom. Anything else is not wisdom. Anything else is foolishness, because he who hears these sayings of mine and does them not, I will like... Back up on that. He who hears these sayings of mine and does them not shall be likened unto a fool who went and built something on the sand. Can you believe that? Would you build your, if you wanted to build your house, he's talking about building your life on a solid rock. Yes. Last week we talked about wrestling. Turn with me to Ephesians 6, and we touched on this. And I wanted to, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. He didn't say be strong in your ability, in your talent, in your experiences. He said be strong in the Lord. In other words, what's the Lord saying to you? What's the Lord saying to you? Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You know, you can't stand against the wiles of the devil without this. That's what this is saying. That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against this world, the powers of this world. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. These are demonic principalities, powers, against the rulers of darkness in this world and against spiritual wickedness in high places. Therefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. Why? That you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, therefore, having your loins girt. Did I put New King James? Yeah, that's good. Having your loins girt about with truth. The loins, that's the belt of truth. That's where you put the belt. It holds your sword in place. It hooks into your shield, your breastplate. It holds everything together for you. Truth. Without truth, you got nothing to hold on to anything. Without the truth. And Jesus said, thy word is truth. And having on the breastplate of righteousness. Whew, I love that. That breastplate protects all of the vital organs. And I'll say it again. It's something that the soldiers, the Roman soldiers, would never take off their breastplate. They'd sleep in it. So just because you may fall, you sin, even on purpose, if you sin, you've still got that breastplate on. Because God is talking to Christians when he says, if any man sin, all right, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation. In other words, the total satisfaction for the sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. Wow! And then he said, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. Oh, this gets down right into the crux of it. Faithful and just. You know, God is just. God is love. If there's one thing God is, he is love. But he is also righteous. And righteousness, by its own definition, demands justice. So how does God express his love without being a hypocrite about it and violating his own justice system, his own sense of justice? How does he do that? He paid for it. At the cross, it was settled. He took it all. He paid for our sin. It's a legal transaction. It is done. It is finished. The devil has no argument about that. He cannot argue. Not, he'll lie to you. But he is faithful and just, so that he might be just and the justifier of him who believes in Jesus. It's totally, perfectly balanced in his love and legal system. Praise God. Praise God. Breastplate of righteousness. And having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That means you just don't go anywhere you want to go. If you're his. That's a protection thing. You prepare with the gospel of peace, and you be led of the Spirit, and they are the sons of God who are led by the Spirit of God. The gospel of peace. And where you go, peace goes. Where you go, there is peace. You're not part of the problem, you're part of the answer. You're not the argument. You give them the truth. Truth should settle all arguments. Having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Are you prepared with the gospel? You need to prepare. Above all, taking the shield of faith. Don't stick your head out to see what's going on. No, you hold the shield up to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Quench them all. That shield is, Jesus tested all of this armor out. It works beautifully. And the helmet of salvation, that's your hope. The helmet of salvation and all the benefits of salvation and everything it means. Get your mind renewed with that. And that word renewed, you can look it up. The renewal of your mind, renewing, renew your mind, the word renovate. It means to rip out what was and put in what will be forever. Helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You know, there's only one offensive weapon in this whole thing, and that's the sword of the Spirit. We need to learn how to use it. You know, we'll get, that's another whole message. Okay, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in where? Praying in the Spirit is praying in tongues. You can read, first, write this down. 1 Corinthians 14:14 says, when I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. That's what praying in tongues is. You don't know what you're praying. Thank God for it too, because you could be interceding for somebody. You have no business in knowing what their business is. And you can pray for them. God can take that prayer and dump the answer right on them. And here you are just praying. You're praying in the Spirit, but your mind is unfruitful. Now it says, pray, when you pray in tongues, pray also that you might interpret. Yes. Ask God for the interpretation of that. 2 weeks later, somebody comes over to you and says, you know what, I really had this problem, but it just went away like that. Then you realize, then the Lord says, that was you. Thank you. He thanks you, you know, he rewards you that way. He tells us to be thankful. Don't you know he is? Amen. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Our brothers and sisters, there are born-again people in the Catholic Church, in the Lutheran Church, in the Episcopal Church, in the Presbyterian Church. I could go on. But there are people that pray for all saints. They are not your enemies. They are your brothers and sisters. You're going to be living with them for eternity. Yeah. You better get used to it now. Yeah. You know, I remember I was singing in this nursing home down in Indianapolis one time. This is a song I wrote, and at the end of it was real bluesy. And I said to him, you didn't know I was half black, did you? And they go... I said, look, if you have a problem with that, you're not going to enjoy heaven because we're all going to be there. And besides this, this is not my permanent color. Black is not your permanent color. Brown is not your permanent color. Yellow is not your permanent color. You are going to be a light. The father of lights. You're going to be, you know, we talk about being transparent. You will be. Oh, you know, and the reason God prefaces the armor of God, or prefaces praying always with all prayer, the reason he, you know what a preface is? A preface to a book is setting you up for what they're about to say. This is what you need to understand this. So he prefaces praying always with all prayer with the armor of God. You know why? Because prayer is a battlefield. Turn to Genesis 32. You're going to love this. You know, Jacob was a thief. He stole the birthright from his brother and the blessing as well, the blessing of Abraham. And his brother Esau, by the way, very interesting, Esau was the old name of Yeshua. Esau, Yeshua. It was an old form of that, and it morphed into Yeshua, which was Joshua, which is Savior, Redeemer, Deliverer, so forth. And it says this, that God despised Esau and loved Jacob. God had to turn away from Yeshua when he was on the cross because he was made to be sin with our sin, the sins of the world, from Adam to the last person ever. God knows, and he put him on Jesus, and God turned away from Esau, Yeshua. And he loved Jacob. Jacob was a thief, and he represents us. All of us were thieves. All of us were liars. All of us were murderers. All of us, we were born sinners. You got to understand this, that you were, when you were born into this world, you were born in Adam. You had a fallen nature. Yeah. I heard two yes, yeah, and a wow, and yep. Yeah. Couple of nods. Yeah. Someday this is going to slam you right in the face, and you're going to say, he was right. Oh. The Amplified, in verse 18, the Amplified says this, pray at all times, on every occasion, in every season, in the Spirit, with all manner of prayer. There are different types of prayer. Did you know that? There's the prayer of faith. We see that in Matthew 21, verse 22, Mark 11, 24, and James 5, 15. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and they shall anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith will save the sick. And in the prayer of faith, you never use an if. You never say, if it be your will, or thy will. You know, religious people start talking Elizabethan angle. You know, he can understand Chinese. He can understand, you know, if you can understand an Irish accent, you can understand them all. I mean, I don't know how those guys can still walk and talk like that. I mean, you know, it's really, so, and I'm Irish. Irish and English. Up there somewhere. But anyhow, if you can understand those accents, God, you don't have to talk, oh, Father, thy name be above all. He's going to go, what? How did you talk to your husband? How did you talk to your wife just now? Well, talk to me that way. God wants to hear you, not some religious concept that you have of him. Come to him as you are. It's a come as you are party, and it's a joyful thing. Now, there are times when things are just so holy and reverent, and at times that I will use a thy or a thee. You know, it just moves me that way sometimes. There's a prayer of faith. You never use an if. Then there's a prayer of consecration. That's a dedication. We're dedicating our lives for his service. That's a prayer of consecration and dedication. And you don't always know the will of God there. And you can say if it is your will. If it's your will for me to do this, I'll do this. You're dedicating your life to his service, trusting in his calling, trusting in his provision for your life. And that's a prayer of consecration. The prayer of consecration was what Jesus was praying in the garden. He knew what the will of God was in that case, but he was still consecrating himself and dedicating himself to God's purpose for him. And actually, if you want to analyze it, you can't use if it be thy will just because Jesus did in the garden. It's a totally different kind of prayer. You can't play baseball with football rules. And there are different kinds of prayers, and there's different kinds of rules concerning prayers. This was a prayer of commitment and dedication and consecration to God's purpose. And actually, if you analyze it and you really meditate on it, he was praying that God's will would be done in getting him to that cross. And it also proves that Jesus had a will of his own. And he gave that to God too. And in fact, in John chapter 13, you can look, I'm not sure of the verse, it says this, that Jesus, knowing that God had put everything in his hands, Jesus was about to go through the most agonizing system that attacked him, his character, his personality and everything, embarrassed him, lied about him, rejected his own men, ran from him, everything. He was totally isolated and in pain emotionally, and yet dedicated, and he's saying, get me to that, let your will be done here. That's the only strength he had left. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Prayer, and so that is a prayer, and if it be your will. Nevertheless, let your will be done and not mine. Prayer of commitment, casting your cares on the Lord. 1 Peter 5:7. Casting your cares on the Lord, refusing to worry. you know, I think it was Stephen yesterday said that, you know, doing what, how did you say that, Stephen? Responding in a Christ-like way to a situation, not regarding the outcome. In other words, you're doing what God said to do. Let the outcome be what it might be. Stephen shared that. Thank you for that, Stephen. That was a really good one. And then there's prayers of praise and worship, like in Luke 24, 52 and 53. Also, in 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 and 2, it shows that praise is a form of prayer. Then there's the prayer of agreement, where Matthew said in Matthew 18:19, it involves asking too. He said, if any two on earth shall agree as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done of my Father which is in heaven. So what you're doing is you're coming into agreement with somebody on earth around something that he already said. So what he said is already established forever in heaven. And when we agree with it here on the earth, it explodes. What he has established in heaven is more powerful than any atom bomb that you and I ever even dreamed of. And it can explode the devil's stuff like it did when he rose Jesus from the dead. That's what it did to the devil. He released so much power in the resurrection, fighting everything that was going on in this world, that faith released. And when you agree with a word that is settled forever in heaven, it'll explode. God loves to do that stuff. He loves to answer prayer. This is his idea is prayer. Then there's praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues. 1 Corinthians 14:14-15. Then there's united prayer. They did that in Acts chapter 4, and God shook the whole house. You can read about this. Acts chapter 4, verses 23 and 31 through 31. I'm just going to read these to you. I'm not going to have you turn there. Then there's prayer of supplication. Now, this is prevalent all through Paul's letters. It's praying based on the word of God or praying the word of God over a situation or into a situation. Prayer that can be prayed repeatedly. Now, prayer of faith, you don't have to pray it repeatedly. You don't have to pray it again and again and again. You pray it once and then you just keep praising God for it. But this kind of prayer is something you can pray over and over again, like the prayer in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17 through the end of the chapter. And in chapter 3, verse 16 to the end of the chapter. You can pray those repeatedly and repeatedly. It's a supplication. It is praying the word of God as well as praying in line with the word of God. You can pray for yourself and for natural spiritual needs with a prayer of supplication. I'll give you these scriptures. Philippians 4:6, 1 Timothy 2:1-2, Matthew chapter 9, verses 37 and 38. That's for sending laborers into the harvest. One thing John Wesley said once, he said, it seems God is limited by our prayer life. He can do nothing for humanity unless someone asks him. Why is that? Because we have a free will. And God's not going to force his will on anybody. He has to be invited in. Prayer does that. That's what these kind of prayers do. And I'm not saying this to limit prayer, put a box on them and everything. These are prayers you can mix one with another. United prayer of supplication. This can be prayed for ourselves and or for natural and spiritual needs. Also, Zechariah 10:1. When they're praying for rain in the Old Testament. Praying for one another, James 5, verse 7, and then 16 through 18. Paul's opening statements in his letters in Ephesians 1:6, he says, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mentions of you in my prayers. This is prayers of supplication. Philippians 1:9, And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. See, all of his letters are laced with these prayers of supplication for the people. It's the most common prayer in the New Testament. Galatians 4:19 is another one. This is like intercessory prayer coupled with supplication prayer. But he said, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. He's praying for them that the anointing would just kick out all of this other stuff. He says, I'm travailing. This is like a woman travailing, giving birth. This is what his prayer was doing. Did I tell you to turn to Genesis chapter 32 before? Did I ever go into that? No. Sorry. I apologize. Genesis 32, verse 24. Look at this. You know, you don't stand and do something for this long unless you believe that there's something going to happen. Verse 24. Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. That's a long fight. Now, when he saw that he did not prevail, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip went out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, he, the man, said, let me go, for the day breaks. But he, Jacob, said, I'm not going to let you go unless you bless me. I'm not going to let go until, this is what Paul was travailing in birth for the people in Galatia who were getting all legalized and departing from grace. He said, let me go for the, and then he said to him, I'm not going to let you go unless you bless me. So he said to him, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. See what prayer does? It'll change your identity, how you look at yourself, who you are. It'll be something that God gives you that you can relate to and identify with all the time. Every time you approach him, you know that you have a covenant name with him. Because he spoke it. And what he speaks is forever. Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed. You know, this is a Christophany. This is Jesus manifesting himself before his incarnation, before he became a man. This was the Son of God. Who Father sent into the world to die for you and me. And he called him by a new name. Do you know, you're going to find out what your name is when you get to heaven. God has a name for you that only he knows. And he's reserving that for you. Can you imagine what the wine will taste like at the marriage supper of the Lamb? It'll be better than the stuff at Cana. He blessed him there. And so then Jacob said, tell me your name, I pray. And he said, what is it you ask about my name? And he blessed him there. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life was preserved. Prayer. This is what we wrestle. This is wrestling. Now, he was wrestling with God and man and so forth, but it's a picture of us wrestling with principalities, powers, evil spirits, darkness of this world and so forth. When we wrestle, are you willing to pray all night for your kids who's going through something? Are you willing to pray all night for your parents' kids? Are you willing to pray and wrestle with these things? And a lot of the time you're wrestling with your own emotions and your own take on things and how you want them to go. Get rid of that. Just get rid of that. Let his will be done. And you know what? It'll work out for everybody. And it'll put you in a better place than you've ever been. Praying always with all prayer. Always. You know, 1 Thessalonians 5, says, pray without ceasing. Now, how can you do that? I mean, how can I be praying here and talking to you at the same time? No, what he's talking about is a lifestyle of prayer. You know, you jip yourself out of so much when you don't pray. You just go through day to day and you go out the door without your armor on. You're naked. You're exposed to the devil without your armor on. Get this picture in your head. I'm not saying this is exactly what it is, but it is. If I had Jesus' helmet on, this is the armor of God, right? If I have his helmet on and his breastplate and his belt and his shoes and everything, who's the devil going to think I am? But if I lift up that face mask on the helmet, he's going to say, oh, it's you. Get that picture going in your mind. And so the devil doesn't want to come. Hello? Okay, was that? The devil doesn't want to come near you when you're dressed in his armor. Because when he sees you, he remembers that thud that came on him, that pounding fist that he's still quivering from. He doesn't want to be around it. You're the armor of God is so powerful. You know, Rick Renner has a book about the armor of God. You know what it's called? It's called Dressed to Kill. Dressed to Kill. That's what the armor of God. You're going to annihilate enemies. But you know what? You'll also conquer yourself. You're going to realize who you really are when demons start running from you and, you know, and things don't get a hold of you like they used to do because you're wearing that armor. You're trusting in that armor. You're walking in that armor. You're a doer of the word. And that armor starts to form a purpose in you that you never had before. You're dressed to kill. Hallelujah. Kill all the plans of the enemy. Kill his plots. Kill his plots against your brother and sister because you're praying always with all manner of prayer for all saints. Yes. Yes. I tell you something, I'm glad I came here. God is limited by our prayer life that he can do nothing for humanity unless somebody asks him. See, here's why people can get away with this stuff. Building their own church, their own things, and doing things their own way, and because they fail to take into account the fact that Jesus loves people. What was it? Numbers 22, I think it is, where Balaam and his donkey had to talk to him to turn him around. God can talk through a jackass. I proved that over and over. God can, if you're an old man, and when I get there, I'll let you know how it is. But if God can talk through a jacket, you know why he does it? He can talk through anybody. He can do miracles. Because at the end of Jesus loves people. Amen. Going with his disciples through 3.5 years, he was falling in love with those people. Just absolutely falling in love with Peter, with John and James, Nathaniel. I mean, guys, but they represent so many of us. And he loves people. And how we treat people at the end of the day affects him. We need to treat people right. You know, we need to guard their we need to be watchmen over them. That's right. And protectors of their dignity and things like that. We need to be protectors. We don't join in any gossip against other people. But here's the thing. Jesus loves people. And if he has to operate through a jackass, he'll do it to get to somebody. Amen. Amen. This is why Paul says, look, after I preach, I buffet myself. I discipline myself so that I don't end up to be a castaway by doing what I'm not doing what I'm telling others to do. You know, if you're going to do that, you might as well just quit. Yeah, I mean, why go through all that? And, you know, pray for those people, too, that they'll turn around. Pray for them. God's a good God. He is really, really good. So let me ask you some questions here. When we hear the word of God and do it, what does Jesus call that? Right. Wisdom. Wisdom. You need wisdom? He'll say, you know, you ask him for wisdom, all of a sudden a scripture will float up to you. And you need to do that. You know, I remember when God healed my mom, she was at the point of death in the hospital. And I got a message from my brother, and he said, hey, Tom, I got to the hospital room, and the doctor turned around and said, there's been a miracle here. And I had been praying for her for like an hour and 15 minutes straight, in tongues, doing psalms and everything, just praying the word over. And I said, thank you, Lord. And then he said to me, if you hadn't have done what I told you to do and go in that nursing home ministry when I told you to, you'd be getting ready to go east for her funeral. I said, what? Lord, that's like works. You don't work for me. I mean, he doesn't owe us anything. In other words, that doesn't sound like grace to me. And then the scripture just floated up. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Nothing you do for Jesus is in vain. Nothing you do for him. But get right with him and do it for the right reasons. Amen. To glorify him and to bring glory to the kingdom of heaven so that the people will have something to go to. When we hear the word of God and don't do it, what do we open ourselves up to? Come on, loud. Like unto a fool. But what else will it open you up to?
Chaos.
Yeah, good. Chaos is part of that, I'll tell you. But it opens you up to deception. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. It opens you to deception. When we live contrary to the word of God, we limit ourselves from receiving what God has for us. What are some of those things? Make a list. Get a strategy together on these things. How about blessing? Fellowship. Fellowship with the Lord and with your brothers and sisters. How about some revelation knowledge and understanding? You're limiting yourself. So these three things too. Know the Lord is your strength. His strength is your might. Number two, put on his armor. He's already tested it. It works. Pray with all kinds of prayer and find scripture. Just start grabbing it and throwing it. You know what I mean? Just start grabbing. If you need to get somebody saved, just start grabbing the word of God of salvation and just throwing it. Just speaking it out. You're speaking to your Father. He can understand all of that. He understands everything that's going on in your heart. He can undo all of that fishing knot. You ever had a fishing reel all ball up on you? That's the way your heart looks. But he can look through all of that and go, just start throwing it out there to him. Just start and plead the blood. Oh, just plead the blood. Be a blood slinger. Do it. Where the blood flows, the spirit goes. Pray with all kinds of prayer and find scripture to back your prayer, and then release your faith in the word and in your prayers and walk like you are already answered. Walk like it's all true. Walk like the Bible is true. Well, praise God. You know, you're smiling. You're smiling. That must... I mean, it hit something, struck a nerve. You got joy? You got joy?
Yes.
Good. Mm-hmm. You know, the soldiers building Nehemiah's wall, I mean, when he organized the building of the wall of Jerusalem, It says at one point they had a what do you call those metal things? A scaffold, those things you do with cement. Trowel. They had a trowel in one hand, and they had a sword in the other hand, beating off the enemies. Sanballat and Tobiah, they were coming at them with armies and everything to try to distract them, to try to intimidate them, to get them to quit. And they had us. This is what prayer is like. You're building something at the same time you're fighting. There's another, praying always with all prayer. Prayer is a battlefield. Never forget that. And you're not doing it just to be nice. You're doing it to win. You're doing it to obtain. You're and find grace to help in the time of need. Amen. And sometimes it takes unlocking a few things and binding a few things and hi. It's crying time again. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Stephen, for that hint. Yeah, it's 5 after lunch. Okay. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, for prayer. We thank you, Father, that we are winners going into this thing. We don't fight for victory. We fight from the victory that you've already obtained for us. And we thank you, Father, that we keep our armor on. Lord, that we will be doers of your word, that we will hear and do and be wise and will build a strong edifice of a life that the world would aspire to. We thank you, Father, that our testimony to this world will be that we were Jesus' disciples. Amen. Hallelujah, that we are the sons and daughters of the living God. Amen. Praise God.